ARTS is an amazing organisation. It covers everything, and so yeah, I've been doing a lot of that stuff in consultancy, and the consultancy where it's needed for the greater good of I'd say South Australia, you know, and how we could find ways and how we could all work together, common ground, I'd say. So,
Liam, do you want to give a bit of a rundown on what you do for HEARTS?
Yeah. So, as Angelina said, I mean, the process of becoming a registered provider for national disabilities in Australia and the insurance scheme that's been, the NDIS that's been rolled out across the country, is not a simple one. You can't just go start up tomorrow. You need to develop policies and procedures and meet certain standards. So I've been doing that for organisations across the country, here in South Australia and Victoria and New South Wales and Queensland. And I said to Angelina, well, why don't we use all of that resource and register HEARTS as an NDIS provider, because within that, all of the different services and activities that HEARTS currently operate can operate as NDIS providers. So we can run community activities, we can run education programs, support workers, and do so in a culturally appropriate way, but for all, not just for Indigenous people, but with a focus on a holistic health approach to the delivery of those services, with a focus on quality that goes beyond just compliance. Compliance is relatively easy. I can write documents and we can all ignore them, but we want to write a set of policies and develop a service that's really flexible and has that holistic approach right from the word go.
That sounds wonderful, and it sounds like a very organic approach to the NDIS. And talking about organic, can we hear a magpie? Have you got a magpie in the background there, Angelina?
Yeah, they're all here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
There's magpies. There's
tell them to sing for
cats,
us.
There's dogs, and there's, you know, the neighbours, dogs, and everybody's here. I think they're all a little bit quiet at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I think they're wondering what's going on.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're all here. I'll mob.
It's with a organic approach. That's what's attracted them, I think.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you might be right. So they're amazing.
So then, how far has HEARTS got actually in terms of is it a service provider?
Yeah, well, it's already a registered Aboriginal corporation, so it has a corporate registration already. We're in the process of applying for a charitable status and an NDIS provider registration. So I've initiated that. We've completed all the policies and procedures and program development. And so now it's a process of just putting in the application and going through that process. But it's going to take a little bit more time in terms of completing that stage of the process. But I'd say within 3 to 4 weeks, that'll be completed and we'll have our audit done.
And do you have a base?
Well, we're working at the moment from Semaphore, but we're looking for a larger accommodation because the service is going to grow fairly quickly. So we're going to need to find larger accommodation fairly soon.
So when you say accommodation, that's for
offices, training,
offices, yeah.
And group meetings, staff training sessions, because I envisage the organisation will end up employing some 200 people.
My goodness me.
Yeah, so it'll be a fairly large employer too. And we're going to develop it in an innovative way using a cooperative model. So under HEARTS, there'll be a cooperative project initiated. And there's been a lot of discussion around Adelaide over the last few years around co-ops with the Don Dunstan Foundation and the Adelaide Uni residency program, and international guests coming and talking about cooperative models around the world. Well, now's one that's going to be owned and run by Indigenous people in conjunction with people with disabilities, which will own the co-op. They'll be members, but they will own their own service.
So when you say a co-op, you are talking about worker-owned?
Yes.
Worker, user-owned?
Yes. A user-owned cooperative model to manage NDIS services.
Through shares?
Yes, through cooperative shares. And the providers can become members, but they'll be vetted providers. So we'll actually ensure that they are not just providing a minimum standard compliance service. We want to see them provide high quality service and care that is culturally appropriate.
And minimum's not enough.
Minimum's just not enough. No. We need to actually have services that are, that the clients go, yes, no, this is what we wanted, this is the way we wanted it, and how we wanted it delivered.
And how will it be governed?
Through a cooperative model, we have a governance model that involves membership and participation. So to have a participatory democracy approach within the co-op. Hearts is going to continue to be a not-for-profit, so that it'll have its own separate governance model with Indigenous people on the board. And they'll be a major stakeholder in the project for the co-op moving forward.
So, Angelina, is this part of your healing that you do with people?
Absolutely. Liam's just described what we've been doing for a long time. A co-op is community, you know?
Yes.
And so we're just taking that knowledge of our community and incorporating it and making it stronger through the services of what Liam talked about through his skills, you know. And we are just coming together and creating something that's totally new. It's a community. It's a being. When I think about it, I know it hasn't been done in this country before, because what we're doing is we're just bringing that community, that energy of community, and that feeling, and you know that real energy of community, and putting it together with Liam's knowledge, and of course Liam's worked with Aboriginal communities all over the place, you know. And when we talked about it, I really knew that this is what I've been waiting for. And so we're not disempowered from it. We're actually empowered, yeah. And our people in our community are empowered, and they could work in the old way of community and just being and one with each other in the corporate world. Do you know what I mean? In it's two worlds meeting. It's just us joining it together, and it's done in such a way where it's done with mastery. I watched Liam work, and I thought, yeah, he gets it. I get it. We just keep going, you know. And that's why it's flowing so easily, because for the first time in Australia, this is being done. It's like we're onto something, you know. And you can't have one without the other. You've got to be able to work together, and that's the only way this country is going to move forward. So I think cooperative is just community.
Absolutely.
And community, each standing in their own power, so to speak, or their own space, and honouring the other. Yeah. Yeah. So everybody gets a fair go. Which is what Australia is about, isn't it?
Grow that governance model. You know, as people in Victoria say to us, okay, well, we'd like to be part of that delivery of NDIS services and programs, we can say, okay, well, you can join and become a local committee that's managing the cooperative activities in your area, and the same with Sydney and then Queensland and the Northern Territory, and all my friends up in Alice Springs and remote communities can, instead of having to jump through hoops, become members of the co-op and use the co-op's registration and members that are providers across the country that all agree to a certain set of principles around the protocols in relation to liaising with the Indigenous community, with respect as the most important factor in that process. And not just acknowledgement, but actual engagement with them and giving them the control over how the service then rolls out and is delivered.
I can really see that becoming a template, because why wouldn't people want to belong to something where they're not just a client?
They're actually part of the management and ownership of the entire thing.
What makes it work.
That's right, and that's what makes it work. So it's building community in a network model of governance across the country through a cooperative model that will be registered nationally and can operate nationally. And so it's a unique opportunity with, there was been legislation changes over the last few years around the cooperative model, and this now gives us an opportunity to take advantage of that change and say, OK, well, let's start it here and let it grow organically across the country.
So I'm borrowing two of Angelina's phrases, and that's that it's doing it right from the very beginning. And doing it together.
Yes.
Not bad, hey?
Yeah. And with a unique goal in mind, in that one of the distinctive differences I'd like to see with the co-op is that because it's going to be owned by clients, that it has the goal of ensuring that the financial contribution that the government and our community is making to the NDIS actually benefits the people that it's intended to support, not just the providers. We're not just creating an industry, we're creating a community. And those members of that community need to have a right and be afforded the right to be financially independent too, and be able to control their own life,
exactly.
Not be just subject to continued poverty and the whim of a market-driven approach.
I just want to say one thing I think we left out with the last conversation. I just want to, and then I'll close on this. One of the things that one of the main strategies for this is, and one of the main points with what we're doing with the NDIS cooperative, is that there are all the different clan groups in Australia, and different groups of Indigenous people, and we all have our own governance within each clan or each group. And what happens is that, you know, what this service allows for is that each group is then responsible for themselves, you know, and that, you know, the people in South Australia don't have all the say for the people in Queensland. So, you know, I can't speak for the people in Queensland. I can't speak for the next clan group next to me. I could only speak from my tribal boundaries, from my boundaries, First Nation boundaries. Mm. Yeah? Mm. I can't speak for the people up in the Northern Territory. And that's a first law of respect that we have for each other's boundaries. And so, and likewise, so, you know, they can't speak for me. And we have different languages that describe the same thing, you know, like for the painters, the dancers, the healers, the, you know, the medicine people, the songline people. And so, you know, we have all different, but the same on each country. What I wanted to see was, you know, I wanted to see that we're all independent, and I wanted people to understand that space or that part of it, because, you know, the government people tend to think that we're all the same people, you
exactly.
know. Well, we are all the same people, but we're all got our own clan groups, and there's a deep respect and a deep understanding between us all. And so that's what I want to see with the cooperative, you know, where we don't govern them and they don't govern us, and that brings that respect back, you know, that solid.
And it makes it.
And the men can't speak for the women, and the women can't speak for the men, you know, because there are men's business and women's business,
yeah.
you know, and we get to have that under the cooperative, you know.
Yeah. And we can have a custodianship approach to governance rather than a governance model driven by top-down. A custodian approach is more about a bottoms-up approach and engaging with the client group and having them drive the process.
That's really beautiful. It's and it's so timely. It's so timely with all the issues that we're facing at the moment. Something like this has the capacity to give people hope for the future.
That's right, Sue. Yeah. That's right. Everybody's got hope in that, because it shows that process is just awesome. It allows people to become one. It allows people to become, you know, it's that real respect that's put back into community, you know, and it allows us to, that's part of the healing.
Yeah.
It's part of, you know, everybody understanding and knowing their place and being honoured for that rather than, you know, being governed.
Exactly.
So that's, I think that's a real important point.